I just want to say to begin that when you are given a series of readings for a Sunday morning that begins with the Old Testament lesson from Hosea that Jane read for us, you are confronted with a very stark choice. One is that you can plunge riskily right into these curious words with which Hosea begins his account, or you can flee from it entirely in the other direction, and that is the path that I choose this morning. Instead, I'm going to concentrate on the gospel and on this curious story of the impertinent neighbor knocking at the door. Like a lot of other people among you, I suppose, who count themselves Anglophiles, I have in my possession this little poster. I keep a copy of it near to my desk. Those five words in all caps under the crown: keep calm and carry on. You see it on mugs and on iPhone cases and on writing tablets and on tea tins. You see it on cufflinks and on pretty much anything else you can put a logo on. There is a fairly interesting story behind this little poster. It was one of three motivational posters designed by the British Ministry of Information. And yes, there was a Ministry of Information for real, and not just in Orwell's novels. The British government in 1939 had seen what had happened in the Spanish Civil War with the bombing of cities from the air. And they were fairly well convinced that the German military would bomb cities in England when the war finally came. The leaders of the British government were worried that public morale would collapse under the weight of such attacks. So the idea was to print up hundreds of thousands of these posters and the one that went with them and pre-position them in cities throughout the country, ready to be put up quickly when the worst came. The part of the story that is not so well known is that this poster and the other two that went with it were an abject failure, at least so far as accomplishing their objective. The British people hardly noticed them in the shops and on the hoardings where they were posted. And when they did notice them, they thought they were pretty silly or just plain condescending. And very quickly, they disappeared. It was only about 13 years ago when an antiques dealer in England found one of these old posters stuck in a box of books he had bought at an auction and put it up by the cash register in his shop, where it attracted a great deal of attention. And you can figure out the rest. It became a sort of meme of our age. We think of this phrase as somehow capturing something not just about the ethos of Britain during the hard days of the war, but something about our condition, our need to be collected and focused and steady. The poster itself may have managed to accurately characterize the character of the British people, even if it had nothing to do with causing that character to be true. And it is a character we see with some admiration from our own perspective in the midst of what feels like our own assaulted state. This morning's collect, the collect of the day, has about it the theme of carrying on, of keeping perspective in order to sift the stuff that does not matter from the substance of what does. The contrast between the temporal and the eternal seems simple, even if it is not. The fact is, we worry a lot about what is temporal, because the temporal things are the things we build our hopes on, measure our worth by, and make the greatest sacrifices for. So Jesus, in his teaching this morning, doesn't actually seem to be quite as pious as the collect wants us to be. He speaks in terms we can understand about the stuff people need to ask for: bread, fish, eggs, basic stuff, necessary stuff, and temporal stuff. Stuff that fits into the category of necessary and yet ephemeral, here today and needed now, but gone tomorrow. So let's face it, we can do the thing the collect is asking us to do only after we get the necessary things of this life addressed. We're a lot better at thinking about and praying about the things eternal when we have enough bread and fish and eggs. And that is not only true of us, it is true of anyone. In fact, it is the basic idea that underlies the reason the church does things like support food pantries and work in soup kitchens. Yes, we feed people because they are hungry, and hungry people need food to survive, but more to the point, we feed people so that they can lift their gaze up above the horizon of the necessity in order to imagine the possible. We deal with the demands of the body so that the needs of the spirit have a chance to be taken seriously. That is the keep calm part of the bargain. In a strange way, both the gospel teaching this morning about prayer, St. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, both that and the story that Jesus tells about that persistent neighbor are both teachings about the same basic idea. Panic is a waste of time and energy. Worry, doubt, fear, all of it is understandable and all of it is human. But in the end, it is better to just keep pushing forward. So the keep calm part is pretty good advice for disciples. Some of us know that gnawing worry that comes from living on the thin edge of our resources. It is stressful, and stress shapes our choices in ways we do not fully understand. But at least we know that it makes our choices often not work out that well. We lose such hope that we stop asking for what we truly need from God. Or, if that isn't our condition, if it isn't fear that gets us bogged down, it is anger. It is righteous indignation. It is our desire to be seen and heard as prophetic. It is our secret longing to be the next great leader of a movement. We don't so much lose hope as place hope in ourselves rather than in God. And that is a distraction of a different kind. All of that, the fear or the anger, all of it, that stuff that shapes our vision, Jesus is saying makes for a lot of wasted effort, at least against the measure of the gospel. Better to just keep moving forward. Just keep asking for what is necessary. Keep posing the plainest of questions to get what is the most essential. That means to keep asking God for help, or at least for a better understanding of what it is God wants us to do, even when it seems like we get no answer. That means keeping at it in our lives of prayer, even when it seems as though no answer is coming from inside the house. It means keeping our focus on the task and not on the trouble, on the goals and not on our grievances. And by the way, of not making the mistake of confusing the one for the other. It means having the humility to remember our dependence on God, and having the persistence to keep calm long enough to keep knocking at the door, keep searching, keep asking, in faith that we will be heard. Amen.